Raised Rowdy.
Welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast, guys. I'm Nikki T.
My name's Kurt Ozon.
And Hello. We have our guest this week, Mr. Angel White. Thanks
hello,
for being
hello.
Here, man.
Hey, bud.
How you
Good
doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for coming all the way out to Tractor Supply today and
you know,
hanging out.
If I was going to do a podcast anywhere, it'd be Tractor Supply.
Yeah.
It's on brand, I feel like.
We should have got some little chicks and brought them in. You know? Had them running around.
We were going
like
to go buy some.
Yeah.
We were going to go.
Problem is, after that, I don't know what to do with them, you know?
Are you talking about chickens or women?
Chickens.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Right. I don't think it's like that over there.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah, no. But we had got to have you play in town.
Yeah.
And when we were there, I know we chatted about, yo, I'd love to have you on the podcast.
For sure.
And then we actually got a pitch on via email about having you on, and I was like, well, perfect.
Yeah, it works out.
So yeah, thanks so much for being here, man. And
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for popping up and playing you know, our writers round.
Yeah.
Well, like full band showcase, whatever, you know.
It was fun.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It's
and
super
losers.
Cool.
Losers is a place.
What so. A vibe, right?
Just a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm slightly tired today because we had the Riley Green launch/20th anniversary of Losers last
okay,
night.
Okay, yeah.
So I was a good boy. I didn't really drink, but I'm just tired.
That'll get you sometimes more than drinking.
Yeah, you know how it goes. The road life, I'm sure, is plenty like that.
Gruesome.
Yeah.
People
well, why don't
think
you,
it's great.
You said
it
you
is
have,
great. It is.
Yes, it is. Yeah. You said you haven't been on too many podcasts, so why don't we talk a little bit about your backstory first? Since if you've been on 20 podcasts, we know everyone knows
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
already,
yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like where you come from and you know,
well,
what got you into music?
Born in Fort Worth, lived there very briefly and then moved a little outside of Dallas, North mm-hmm. Dallas, McKinney.
Cool.
Simple childhood, good family, mm-hmm. went to the park all the time. And then when I was 12, moved to Cleburne, which is like a little further than Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just small country town, played football my whole life, go out to the lake, very, very simple things.
Yeah.
And then senior year of high school, I started making music, just kind of having fun with friends, not really doing, I was kind of rapping more than anything. Mm-hmm. And then went to college to play football at Southern Nazarene in Oklahoma.
Cool.
Didn't want to do that anymore. Football program wasn't really it for me, and I wasn't trying to go to the NFL or anything.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I was going to school to be a veterinarian.
Oh, cool.
To be a knee surgeon for horses, and that was a biochem major was ridiculous.
Super hard, right?
Yeah. I love biology. Chemistry is just not my thing. Like
it's tough. Yeah.
I don't get the math.
Yeah.
That. Like it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was still making music at that time and just taking the train mm-hmm. back home like every other weekend.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, I dropped out, started a band, and we all moved into a house together. And
cool.
That's kind of
hell yeah.
That was kind of the moment of okay, this is where I'm going.
Yeah.
And was that country music? Or?
No, we were like a Rage Against the Machine.
Hell yeah.
Very angsty.
Yeah.
Very angsty.
Rap rock kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then kind of.
That's a Rage like
yes.
alternative logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like within that like 8 months we were living together, things kind of started fizzling out. But I still wanted to play, so just went solo. And I started busking in Dallas for like 2 years. Over in Deep Ellum. And then 2017, Mod Sun asked me to go on tour with him because I had met him in 2015 and he kind of just kept up with me. He was like, hey, what you working on? What you doing? And yeah, he was like, come out on tour. I thought he meant to just hang out.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, for sure. Like, why not? And then 2 weeks before the tour started, he called me. He was like, all right, you got 20 minutes. And I was like, oh my god. Because I had no music recorded. Like I had just started writing
no
on guitar.
Infrastructure,
nothing.
No in-ears, no tunes recorded,
just get up and play. And then a week before that I recorded a 4-song EP, dropped it a day before the tour started. And I would say
jeez, that's a busy week, man.
Yeah, it was. And I would say that was like the solidifying moment uh-huh. of like, oh, like this is possible. because we went 25 cities in a month, and I think I got to ride the tour bus. And for my first tour, it was kind of the best thing that could have ever happened.
Yeah.
And since then, it's just been off to the races.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Bro, could you imagine?
No, I can't.
Did you have your open guitar case on stage on tour?
No, but I should have.
You're like, sorry, just really, force a habit.
Just, yeah. I'm just used to it. No, I should have,
so
actually.
So crazy. It's interesting. I mean, there's no right or wrong way for anything to work, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's commitment, you know, moving in with the buddies and starting a band. And that also kind of gives you the thing of, you know, I'm sure some things worked and some things didn't.
For sure.
And that helped you figure out what that looks like.
Yeah.
What do you think the main thing that you're trying to express in your music is, like, in terms of just more lyrical than sonic?
I would say just a good story.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, something somebody can relate to or use in their life. For instance, like, very literal, but Soundtrack to My Life by Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
Kind of like shaped me when it came to like trying to tell a story.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's what I want things to be, is a soundtrack to someone's life. Like,
yeah,
walking down the street, the song is intertwined with your steps and like everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just use it in life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's country right there. You know, storytelling, no doubt.
Yep.
And that was definitely the goal with all this new music that I had, was to really dive into the details of things, the smells, the colors, everything that makes those feelings.
Yeah. Process wise for like writing, are you solo writing or have you been co-writing at all?
Started solo. This project that I have was just me and two other people on two songs. Mm-hmm. But it was like 80% me.
Cool.
But over the last year, I've been doing a lot of co-writes out here,
mm-hmm.
Which has been really fun because I hadn't really done that. And again, when you got another mind in the room, you can bounce off of each other pretty great. For instance, like Matt Koziel, write with him pretty often. And I mean, we could just hang out for 3 hours and then be like, what were we doing? and then in 10 minutes, write a song about what we just talked about. So it's really fun.
It's always cool hearing people that, you know, have done solo writes kind of get into that world, you know, because it's a different beast. It seems
it is. And I think it has taught me a lot about being able to take myself out of something.
Yeah.
To get a story across, because sometimes it's like super personal. And then sometimes it's like, no, you can just tell a story. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be your experience. It doesn't have to be. And I learned that from Lana Del Rey. I played the Roxy in 2017 on that tour. Crazy. And she was there with G-Eazy. It was like a weird time.
That's on the Strip, right?
Yeah.
Roxy's on the Strip. Yeah, we played there back in the day.
And she was there, and I ended up going up the stairs, and we talked for a second, told her I liked her dress. She was like, oh, I look like a librarian. but just asked like anything about songwriting. And she was like, try writing from someone else's perspective. And I took that and ran with it and has helped immensely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lana Del Rey. Appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you, Lana.
Yeah. We know she's listening. So
of course
she'll see it.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of details in writing, all of which I don't know because I don't write songs.
You should, man. Yeah. I think you should. At least once. Yeah. I know you got a couple ideas in your phone somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I got a bunch, but...
Yeah. There you go.
I'll just give them
away. That's how they start.
That's what's cool with, like, co-writing. It's like everyone brings their own, like, talent and things, strengths and weaknesses to the thing.
For sure.
And there's some dudes that write, and actually I was having this conversation with Johnny Slauson last night. It's just like some dudes will come into a room and not write one word, but the song wouldn't be the same without them because they're like helping with the chords and they're really good with melody or whatever it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And of course there's like producer writers, like track guys too. But I think that's what's cool about songwriting. It's like you can come in and have a lick or something, and that is just the spark that starts the fire of the tune, you know, which is fun.
Yeah.
And also it's like, so you get in a room with other people and you're like, I have this idea for a song. And then like someone says it and they're like, oh, but what if it was this? And you're like, whoa, I never would have thought of that.
Exactly.
That's what's cool.
Yeah. But it's easy to like reshape things.
Yeah.
Or easier.
I always think it's cool when people write songs by themselves and they do well too. I'm like, damn. Because it's kind of lonely in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're just sitting with looking at a blank page. It's like,
it is.
Kind of something to think about, I guess.
So, interesting.
Because, yeah. I mean, some people thrive by themselves. And some people, like you said, like you can have a really good top liner. Or you have somebody who knows how to describe something really good.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many spaces you could be in to get a good song out.
Yeah.
Are you living in Nashville now or?
No, I still live in Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you like Nashville?
I like Nashville.
Okay.
I do.
I'm not Nashville. I'm not going to be offended if you
No. I think first couple of times I was just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, everybody here does music. But again, that's kind of, that's what it is. And I think once you like accept that, mm-hmm. then it's easier to maneuver here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think having a little bit of confidence in what you do, I think helps with that too.
For sure.
Where it's not like, so you're not like at a bar and the bartender is a great songwriter and then it's like they're everywhere, you know? So it's like not having to worry about comparing yourself to everyone else.
For sure.
Too.
Like you definitely should have your own thing.
Yes.
Granted.
You have to.
Yeah. And this is, you know, country music capital, so there's still like an outline and an infrastructure here, mm-hmm. that people go by. But I think if you could come in and bring something fresh, then it's really beneficial.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's like you have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or else you have to retire and go back to playing football.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And I don't want to be 37 you.
Yeah.
You know?
I do. I was just watching that Dolphins game and I'm like, I'm so glad I don't play football. Like
to,
it's a tough. Lot.
Oh, I'm like watching these guys get hit. I'm like, ow, man.
I mean, I just played through high school and at a very low level. And I remember like I had my knee pop out when I was in like my early 20s and I went, you know, it swelled up. So I went to the doctor, like the emergency room. And they were like, so how long did you play football for? You know, they're like, there is zero cartilage in your knees.
Brutal,
you know, and I didn't even play at like a high level and just 4th through 12th grade.
But just that. Beating up your body every day is actually intense.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I was in the marching band, so I didn't have that problem.
Yeah, you
probably I had to carry that snare drum around, though.
That's, that's still a lot.
Yeah. You got the good cartilage then.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I've got so much cartilage, bro.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Thankfully.
Yeah. Well, speaking of cartilage, I have no transition.
Okay. That's fine.
No, but one of the things I wanted to talk about was, like, so when we got to see you, it was basically just you and a guitar.
Yeah.
And your voice is so powerful that it penetrates any room that you're in, I feel like.
Thank you.
I assume that's the case. Do you do a lot of full band stuff as well, or is it mostly
music? Yeah. Been doing a lot of full band stuff over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, at first it was all solo. And then met Willie at a record shop that I went to all the time. That's Silly Willie over there.
Yeah. What up, Silly Willie?
Met him at a record shop, and I had broke my wrist, so I couldn't play, and asked if he would play with me, and we played a couple shows, and then ended up recording my record, and I was like, all right, well, will you play with me all the time?
Yeah.
That's how it started, and he played in a funk band and had a drummer, that he was like, yeah, Nick can come, and that was the start of the trio.
Mm-hmm. Avengers Assemble.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But yeah, we got a lot of full band stuff coming up too.
Sick.
Yeah, so I got some dates on the books there.
Yeah, we got the bigger ones coming. We're doing the Ryan Bingham Fest, the Great Western in Fort Worth, and then we're opening for Whiskey Myers in November. So got some good shows
good
coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's and then Caitlin Butts, we're about to go on the road with her.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's sick.
That starts like in next week.
Yeah.
In Kentucky, first show.
We're huge Caitlin fans.
Yeah, she is ridiculous.
Yeah,
like,
insane. So good.
Insane. Her creative, her voice, her band is great. She's a cool person. Mm-hmm. Like, all the check boxes.
I mean, she's just so wildly creative. And mm-hmm. She's fierce, too. You know?
Yeah.
She's badass, man.
Yeah, she is. She is. She writes her own video treatments. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah, we had her on the pod probably a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And we just went and she walked us through every music video and, like, how she came up mm-hmm. with it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. She's got a vision.
Yeah.
You know, which is
and
cool.
You have to respect that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't and kind of move blindly and are just, again... Granted, we're all throwing stuff at the wall, but
yeah, no shit.
She's just like very calculated, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what you got to be.
Yeah, what's your process like with that? Are you like in on like the visuals and mm-hmm. stuff? Because I feel
everything.
Like everything. Yeah, I was gonna say. I feel like there is purpose and intent with it.
I feel like I've been creating the world for a long time. Yeah. Probably 2016 was when I feel like I really started getting into that space. Cause, well, Frank Ocean is like my mogul, both on how like enigmatic he is and you don't know what he's doing throughout the day.
Yeah.
Granted, it was a different time when he came up, but just to have like such a, it's just almost his life is just so properly curated mm-hmm. that you're just like, what? It's perfect.
Yeah. At least it seems that way.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And then his product is out of this world. So yeah, he kind of shaped my taste on like how to
do that,
set things out.
Yeah, makes sense.
And still be able to keep this level of personal, very close knit.
Yeah, I think that's with country music, it's like people want to feel more connected to the artist, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
With it's like, you know, it's like some artists, you'd have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
Beyonce's not posting like, hey guys, I'm just at this coffee shop, you know what
yeah.
I mean? It's like everything is like very secretive mm-hmm. kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like a lot of country artists, it's just, they want to be like closer to the fans, mm-hmm. I think.
It's an interesting time, too, with social media. I feel like that's a big part of it.
Definitely.
You know?
And like I was saying, even with Frank, like, that was, like, Tumblr and mm-hmm. things that aren't here anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then today, people do just want to see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, they do want to see, like, your product and the music and all that mm-hmm. and all that stuff, but at a point, I feel like they just want to see you. So that's where that shift is.
Yeah.
And there's a balance in that, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's the hard part is the art is what you want people to know you for, right? Mm-hmm. So you almost have to craft all of your content, whether it's you in front of a camera or, you know, a visualizer for a song
mm-hmm.
as part of that thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And again, just with that world, I think you have to constantly ask yourself, like, what is going to make someone stay? Because it could be a lot of different things. It could be the music. It could be your outfits. It could be you getting coffee in the morning. Like, it could be so many different things that draw someone in or be like, oh, I want to go see what this is about. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just got to pull from all the buckets.
Yeah, no doubt. We definitely have a cool look, man, for sure.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. Not just even in person, but I really feel like your social presence and, like, even your press photos and stuff, like, there's a consistent vibe. Right, that you kind
for
of
sure.
like get from you
mm-hmm.
as well as the stuff that you're kind of putting out.
Yeah.
Which is
and
cool.
that's another big thing too, is so like the difference between
did you
you called somebody?
I butted out Shelby.
Hey Shelby.
That's hilarious.
Oops.
Yeah. Just that space between what was I saying?
I don't know. I just forgot.
We were talking about like...
just like essence. The idea was just the essence. Because I think you can listen to the music mm-hmm. and feel a way. But if you see it live, you get the entirety of me, of the story, the music, the essence of everything that I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I want people to see me live.
Yeah. Well, so tell us a little bit about the live show.
Yeah.
It's rock and roll for the most part.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We just opened for Midland the other day in Minnesota, and it was like the best show we ever played.
Yeah, that's man. Good. Is it? And you guys were playing trio?
Yeah, we played trio.
So guitar, vocal?
Yeah, two guitars and drums.
And drums, sick.
Yeah. But we'll have bass and keys coming up for these next couple of shows. So cool. I'm super excited for that.
Building it up.
Yeah, got to.
Yeah, man.
Got to.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It's a fun show. It really is.
I can't wait to see that.
And again, and solo is different, duo is different, and then full band. Mm-hmm. It's like very dynamic.
Yeah, love that. And it's always like you want to have a bunch of dudes, but it's like band guys cost money, man.
Yeah.
They get hungry, and you got to fly them around and all that.
Know? Some of them are all the things. You got to get special food for them. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm expensive now.
Yeah.
So.
No. Jelly. But yeah. it's all part of that thing. But consistency is one of the things that, like, if I look at your socials and your music, honestly, even too, it's mm-hmm. like it's the vibe is the same, even if it sounds a little different.
Yeah.
So,
which is the goal?
Yeah.
Again, because that for me that means the essence is there.
Yeah.
So again, you can be in any space, but that essence is going to come through regardless.
Yeah.
I watched that, I guess it would be like a music video, I guess, that you do with like Dakovas, that Natalie shot.
Oh, yeah, the Outlaw video.
Yeah, dude, yeah. It's so cool, man. What a vibe.
That was fun.
Yeah, she crushed that, too.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah,
she
I love did.
We were like, has anybody played guitar on a horse yet?
I don't think I've anyone seen anyone do that.
I have it.
Oh, yeah?
Since we did it.
Yeah?
So
it's crazy.
Was that fun?
Hell, yeah. It was so fun. The whole day was.
Oh, yeah, you're just wearing cool boots and hanging out. Have you ever ridden a horse?
No,
I have a few times, but it was kind of like there's like this step thing and you hop out, you know, it's like
the trainer horse.
Yeah. It's like had training wheels on it.
They're like, this one's old and won't buck you up.
Yeah.
No, I definitely have it. Yeah.
It's fun, man. It's cool. Yeah. You get to a gallop and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I'm riding a horse.
It's really fun.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I'm like, this is part of like human history or something. You know what I mean? What's going on?
just throwing signs.
Gotcha. But it's like, it's a weird, it's like building a fire or something. It just feels like we're supposed to do that, I guess, or something. I don't know.
Supposed to ride horses?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, it is fun.
Yeah, I've been riding for a minute.
Yeah, that's very Texas of you, you know?
Yeah.
And the family does it, so they've been doing it for a while. Like,
oh, really?
40, 50 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in just regular horse riding or competitive?
No, just raising them, breaking them, selling them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, cool. Yeah, your family life, how do you think that affects your music now?
Oh, I think it is the sole reason why I am where I am.
Yeah.
Just, again, growing up in the country, empty spaces, smelly stalls, like... Mm-hmm. All of that is kind of where the music comes from, because I would like to paint a picture.
Yeah.
And that's the picture that I see every time I'm playing. So
it's great. Home.
Yeah.
Home. Exactly. Yeah.
And then if someone hasn't seen your show, I mean, we know we talked about it being rocking, but I think the music is just like such a like genre bending thing. Mm-hmm. You hear like the soulfulness in your voice and, you know, the rockin' live
for
set
sure.
And you know, the country overtones and lyrics. It's how would you, if you had to describe like your sound, maybe like how would you maybe do that?
The ways we've kind of been going is like either Western soul,
yeah,
or cool. Contemporary outlaw,
yeah,
yeah,
that's cool.
Is there any rap rock in the set or what?
Kinda.
Hell yeah.
There's like long way up is a song where it was kind of like, hey, talk your shit kind of thing.
Yeah.
He was like, pull some of that rapper out. I was like, all right. So that one's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I was like, fuck you all.
Maybe not like
we might open up with that one.
Yeah.
Intro music.
Classic. We, of course, cover so many different kinds of music and, you know, just listen to so many different kinds of music, so it's super cool to hear kind of everything in Nashville. Is like, well, you just had the Drop Tines on and they talked about like sonic fusion and you know, the things that they're trying to like put into their elements, but then the lyrical, you know, consistency of the country music genre is like kind of the backbone of it all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super cool to hear so many different sounds. And honestly, like your voice peeks through a room, right? Like it's,
thank you.
It sets the tone for everyone in there. If they're not paying attention, mm-hmm. they will be very shortly.
Yeah.
So I think that's like one of the things that when I got to listen to your music, and you catch that in the live recordings, but when you get to see you live, it's like, it's piercing.
Yeah.
So it's super cool to get to just have moments like that where I get to hear artists, and I can't wait to see a full band because I got to see, you know, the acoustic setting.
Yeah.
So get to hear that like rockin' version of it. It's super cool.
Yeah.
Are you playing in town anytime for Americana Fest or anything?
Playing today.
Oh, okay.
Well, this won't be up then.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing just a little pop up, playing a couple songs, one or two songs.
Cool.
Where is that? Okay.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, playing at Row One. Nope. What brewery? Tennessee Brewers.
Oh yeah.
That's a good spot.
That's for the Here Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
Here Fort Worth event. Should be fun.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're super excited to hear you on the road with Caitlin too.
Like, yeah, that's gonna be cool.
Oh yeah. We were on the road with her couple months ago. It's always fun with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are some of the other artists, whether it's country or not, that you've been digging? I know we talked about like Frank Ocean.
Oh yeah. Frank is always top. McGee is absolutely insane.
McGee?
If you don't know.
I don't know who that is.
If you don't know, you know now.
Okay.
McGee, Dijon, listen to a lot of Vincent Neil Emerson.
I got a lot of homework to do.
Let's see. Who else have I been jamming? I love Playboi Carti.
Yeah.
Okay, I know that one.
Yeah.
Flatland. I found this new band called Bovine. They're out of Austin.
Okay. That's a good band name.
Absolutely love them.
That's a really good band.
And then who else? Fred Again. That's more like dance music. Well, yeah. Obviously, Zach Top.
Hell yeah.
And then Ray LaMontagne is a big one.
Oh, cool.
For me.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. That's kind of like who shaped my initial sound, I think.
Yeah.
I just loved his raspy voice and the somberness of everything. That would probably be the rotation right now.
Yeah, Ray's, I mean, once I found his music, I just dove in. And
yeah.
Exactly what you're saying. Like, his voice is, again, piercing, right? I think you have that same kind of quality in yours.
For sure.
Which is cool.
I definitely pulled. Or, like, I think to a point, like, you try to mimic these people.
Yeah.
That then creates your sound.
Yeah.
To a degree.
Mm. But combination and mix and matching. And
yeah.
You're like, oh, that works. Or, oh, I can do that, but I can't do that. So you're, like, just collecting from all these people. And then that's how you get yourself.
That's it.
Emulate and then innovate.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, Miles Davis, for that wisdom.
You know? Because everything's been done for the most part. So it's just ideas going through another mind. And it should come out different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What's your guys' road rig like? Are you vanning it?
Well, right now we're just in the truck.
In the truck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a van for our last like full band run. Mm-hmm. And trying to rent Willie Nelson's tour bus for this next November run.
That'd be great.
Yeah. my buddy Evan Boyer just bought it.
Oh, really?
And he was like, hey, I just bought Willie's tour bus, like hitting up all the homies who need to rent it. I was like, that sounds nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That'd it's just kind so of a sick. Legendary thing. I'm on the road in Willie Nelson's tour bus. Like, not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah.
Like weed in there for sure, right?
Probably
residue for sure, at least.
Yeah. There's probably some stashes somewhere.
Oh yeah, somewhere
that he forgot about.
Yeah, you never know,
dude. That's
20 year old dirt weed in the corner.
It's like gold.
Yeah,
it's crystallized.
Yeah,
I would frame that.
Oh yeah,
I would not smoke it. I would just put it in a shadow box on my wall.
Yeah, You should, if you rent that, you should just hide some in there so someone else can find it, even if it's not there.
Yeah.
And I'll write a note that this is 20 years old.
Yeah.
Love Willie.
Yeah. How has the road been treating you in terms of like things you've learned about yourself and, you know, from the time you started touring?
I think just that I love the road.
Yeah.
I love the travel. I love meeting everybody. Seeing all these different places, kind of this little mantra that I've had for a while is like, I want my music to take me to people.
Yeah.
And people take me to places. So
that's cool.
That's kind of, that's just the mantra of it. And it is exactly how it is. And then you also get to see how people are in all these different places. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we were in the Midwest and we were like, oh, we are Southern. Like, we are so Southern. Just 'cause like mannerisms, phrases, everything's so different.
Mm-hmm. Eat ear, old ear.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's really cool to see.
Yeah.
And again, just being in different spots.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so fun to like tour this great country and meet all the different folks, man. And it's like, just getting to lift people up too.
Mm-hmm.
Get them away from their usual BS and give them some music.
Exactly.
And have a good night.
Just take them somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With you, and y'all are all in one place together. And that's like the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be because of the music or because you're talking to them, mm-hmm. whatever the case is, like, we're all trying to feel something.
Yeah, man. Yeah. For sure.
That's the power of music too, really.
Yeah.
Like, brings people together, makes you feel things that maybe you don't want to feel or mm-hmm. you really do want to feel.
Yeah. And or being able to, I think as a musician artist, we can articulate a lot of things that maybe a non-artist can't, and they're like, yes, that's exactly what I'm feeling, and that's exactly how I've been trying to say it.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. So that's also the goal too, is to be able to put context to these feelings that people may have.
Yeah. So you have your project out now. Have you been working on more as well?
Oh yeah. Volume 1 came out in May.
Mm-hmm.
We got volume 2 coming out in January.
Sick.
Still part of the Ghost of the West.
Yeah.
And then I've been writing and recording a bunch of music, so
yeah,
the vault is heavy,
getting full. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
well, that's the key too, is, and I know so many people talk about it, is like, if you think you're busy on the road now, you're probably going to be more busy.
Yeah. So definitely,
the more you can get in the tank writing wise mm-hmm. the more you can get in the tank, you know, to get ready to record,
for sure,
the heavier you can hit that road, you know.
Life catches up quick too, you know.
Yeah,
so
absolutely,
that it does.
I mean, if you're lucky, you
yeah
know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's better to be too busy and not busy enough, I guess.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because even like 4 days of not being on the road, I'm like, what do I do?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's like you feel so productive when you're out. You know, it's like, I'm doing it. Like, this is helping my career. I'm meeting fans. I'm pushing it in the right direction.
Yeah.
And then when you're not, you're like, I should be doing something. You're like, I should be working.
It's a strange thing.
Yeah. It is. It really is.
Downtime feels like you're hurting yourself almost.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's not the case.
Yeah.
And that's the battle, is like, oh, you are allowed to rest. You are allowed to not do something. But again, when you're in that mode, it's hard to get out of it.
Yeah. It really is. And I mean, that drive that makes you feel weird when you're not doing something is mm-hmm. really what is going to help you
yeah.
push down the road and
for
get
sure.
further and further. So it's, that's a good thing to have in your head, you know?
It is.
But it's always good to have some non-musical hobbies.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What do you do outside of touring and writing songs?
I love a nice, I've been like wood carving
mm-hmm.
And like with this little Dremel, mm-hmm. which is like drawing wood pieces. And
like
then,
whittling with a Dremel, kind of.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah. And then just like burn stuff into it. That's been the newest hobby.
That's cool.
I would like to build rocking chairs at some point. I just, my grandparents have always had rocking chairs, and in their house they have two chairs everywhere, and it's like a sign of forever. So I'd like to build like these double rocking chairs that you can only buy together. That'll be when I'm like 40 or something, but we'll see.
How old are you now?
29. I almost said 28. My birthday was like last week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Happy belated.
It was perfect birthday. That was the Midland show, basically. Got a standing ovation and cried on stage. It was great.
Hell yeah.
It was amazing. Great.
Yeah, I've definitely cried on stage a few times.
I've cried in front of stage.
Yeah, no doubt.
I've done that many times too.
Key West, like Jeffrey Steele and stuff like that. Gosh, yeah.
Yeah, we went to Key West for the first time, Kurt and I. It was when he still wasn't like on the road.
Yeah.
And we did Songwriters Festival down there.
Nice.
And my phone was dead and I was probably a few drinks too deep.
Yeah.
And
I was like, where are you?
By myself and didn't really know where I was going, but we were at the bar that we were hosting some events at.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeffrey Steele, who's like one of my favorite songwriters, and at that point I'd never seen play before.
Yeah.
But you know, I looked him up online and he was playing all these just complete hits that he has. Dude,
smashed.
Solo electric.
Yeah.
On this tiny little stage in Key West, and I'm just like bawling my eyes out.
Hey,
and
so that's how it goes.
Are you
sometimes
okay? And I was like, I mean, kind of, you know.
A little bit.
Yeah. What hurts the most? And you're like, yeah. Ah.
We played a festival, Farewell Fest, mm-hmm, in Oregon, and this guy, medium build, also another guy you should listen to. He was playing, and then it started raining, and then we had to all evacuate into this beef barn, and he came in with his guitar, just solo. It was like the perfect way to see him, and two songs in, I was just bawling. But it was such a beautiful moment, and those are the moments you want.
Yeah,
I had one time I cried on stage, and we were playing this guitar pool when I was playing for Michael Ray, and it was like Dan Shea, Chase Rice, Kanan Smith, and Michael, and Kanan was introing this song, and it was like, yeah, I wrote the song like when I lost my brother, and like. And this girl in the back of this sold out theater goes, I love you, Chase Rice. And right in the middle of him introing the song, it was like the worst thing. And Chase gets on the mic and goes, I love you, Kanan Smith. Like, and like to his credit, like,
yeah,
expertly put the spotlight back on Kanan instead of this woo girl or whatever. And so he sings the song Bronco. It's sad.
Yeah.
It's a sad song. It's gorgeous, beautiful, but so good. And at the end, the entire, it's like a sold out theater show, 2,000 people or whatever, gave him a standing ovation, and I'm like, I'm gonna cry. I'm like, okay, I'm good, I'm not gonna cry. I look over and Kanan is just bawling his eyes out. I'm like, all right, fuck it, I'm crying. Let's do this. And I'm sure everyone on stage, it was just like such a wild, I'll never forget that moment.
Yeah,
so
that's
good moments.
That's the thing, man. That's music, and that's the power it has, you know?
Yeah.
A well-written song and a well-performed song can change the course of someone's day,
mm-hmm,
which can change the course of someone's life.
Yeah, exactly. Because we never know.
Yeah, you really don't.
Never know. Mm-hmm.
And the amount of times that, you know, I've felt something. I remember the first time I got chills on the back of my neck, you know, the hair standing up kind of feeling from something. It was music. It was George Strait. And I didn't know what I was listening to, and I didn't know why it was doing that to me, you know, but
that's when you know. You're like, oh, I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always like that first record or song or whatever, where it's like, you grow up listening to music. You're like, I like music. And then you find that thing that's like your thing, that one record, that song, you're like, oh, I didn't know music can be like this good.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I love that.
That's how hearing Trouble by Ray LaMontagne was.
Yeah,
I think I was like 9 or 10 and feeling like I had just lost the woman of my dreams. Like, I was like, what is this? But yeah, there's that first time is a special moment.
And then how do you create those? That's the toughest part, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. You want to be that for someone, ideally, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Again, Kid Cudi is like my musical savior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been like, okay, I want to be what he was for me, for whoever it may be.
Yeah. I think that's so important too. And I, honestly, I feel like kids probably that for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because he definitely discussed things that other people in genre were not discussing.
Yeah. He was like this outcast weirdo, at least in the rap world, mm-hmm. But still was able to push beyond that, again, with the vulnerability and the emotion and the topics.
All while sonically exploring like different things, and it was great,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So not only was he pushing boundaries, but the music was undeniable to where you listen to it today and it still sounds as fresh,
yeah,
which is crazy.
Stand the test of time.
Yeah.
That's also the goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say.
Get that classic song written. You know, how many timeless songs does Willie Nelson have?
Yeah.
All of them.
Literally.
Yeah.
153 albums.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Is that a real number?
Yeah. He put out his last one. It was his 153rd, I'm pretty sure.
It's crazy.
What?
He's been making music for 70 years.
Yeah. Okay, that's insane.
It's nuts.
This is like two albums a year.
I know. It's like George Strait has like 60 number ones or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn. I don't even have 60 songs. That's a lot of songs, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, back then too, you just put records out when you had them.
Yeah,
you
know? For sure.
Especially if you were popular, like Willie was.
It was like, oh, boom.
Yeah, we got more. Boom. Let's go. It's an interesting thing now too with music, because it's like, you know, singles is kind of how a lot of people are rolling out music, mm-hmm. especially when you're new, you know, keep eyes on it.
Yeah.
You know, a song lives on a playlist for X amount of time, mm-hmm. you know, it's like,
and then you got to reboot.
Yeah. Yeah. And put something new out and keep people that way, they can come back to your catalog and kind of pay attention
for sure.
So, but then you get to put out big albums, you know, like Morgan and Zach and Luke.
Yeah.
You can put out two in a year, three,
for sure.
three on one record, you know? So it's super interesting to do that.
It is.
Are you guys like, when you're putting out music, are you thinking like, okay, let's roll this out and then have the project? Because I like that you're doing projects, not just singles,
mm-hmm.
because it kind of gives a statement piece of like where you're at.
For sure. And that's always been my goal, is to put out full length things.
Yeah.
Even when I was writing my first album that'll never come out, the goal was to put the entire thing out, because that's how I experienced albums.
Yeah.
That's how I experienced just music in general. And when I start something, I don't want to just hear one.
Like, yeah.
Give me the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And again, I think obviously things change with the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a good way to do it, even as a new artist.
Yeah.
And I think, again, that comes from, what's your world? Why do they want to be there? How are you making them stay?
Yeah.
Because I think if you lure somebody in, for me, there's plenty to see and like plenty to like.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do drop a full project, it's like, oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I think that's one of the things too, between like liking a song or feeling connected to an artist, right?
Is yes.
If there's one song that's good and that's the only song they have out, it's tough. But if you can show someone kind of your body of work, mm-hmm. at least some of the body of work,
yeah,
you know,
because sure.
you're constantly putting more of it.
Yeah.
It kind of gives them something they can attach to a little.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And with those people, when they like you, you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna be there.
Yeah.
And again, I will reference Cudi all the time. I love Cudi. So anything he does,
mm-hmm.
I'm about it.
Yeah.
And when he dropped Speed and Bullet to Heaven and people were like, whoa, this is trash, I was like, yes, I love it. Like it, because I love him.
Yeah.
And for me, that's what I would like to push on.
I've also really enjoyed, I just got a record player, and so it's like, listening to music that way, it's like when you're forced to, you know, listen to the record,
mm-hmm.
like literally, it's been fun to put a whole album on that way, which mm-hmm. is a kind of cool thing. Cause like, you know, sometimes on Spotify or iTunes or whatever, it's like, it'll shuffle it in weird orders and stuff like that. So you don't kind of get that experience.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to turn it off. So.
And even like from the physicality of like pulling out the record, mm-hmm. seeing what color it is, putting it down, throwing the needle on, and waiting until you have to flip it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's an experience in itself. And I think can build even better memories with the music.
Yeah.
He's like, where was I? Mm-hmm. What was I doing? Did I have coffee? Like, just the little things.
Yeah.
The details are what makes music great. And that's part of the experience of music, is paying attention while the music's happening. You know, I feel like the world is so busy and you're
trying
to
be
music.
Busy.
Yeah. You're in the music. You're listening to music while you're in the car. Yep. You know, you're listening to music while you're doing something else, or you're doom scrolling on your phone. Mm-hmm. Whereas vinyl feels intentional,
yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
And I think intention, when you're listening to music, specifically if you're trying to catch the details, is super important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to be immersed.
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like some of the stuff that you've been giving us is great advice for like young artists. Do you have any other advice that you would give to someone that's trying to be in the music industry as an artist?
I would say just make the music.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily try to be in the industry.
Yeah.
Because I've been in the industry for like 2 years now.
Yeah.
And it's a lot different. Mm-hmm. Like, it's way different. I find myself like trying to put myself back in a space of purity.
Yeah.
Granted, like, I will always be there because that's the core of everything. But I do have to constantly remind myself to, like, come back. Because it's easy to get wrapped up in things. It's mm-hmm. easy to get wrapped up in the numbers. It's easy to get wrapped up in who you're playing with, or who's doing this, who's doing that. Why am I not on this festival? Why am I not on this show? Like, it's so easy to get there. Mm-hmm. But I've played empty shows and I've played empty things. I've played on the street where nobody gave a fuck. So that's where I'll stay, because that is the heart of what I come from. And in that space, none of it mattered. It's just like, this is what I'm doing and this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I would just say, keep doing what you're doing. Focus on the music and that's it.
Yeah.
The rest will come. If you got good product, like,
it's going to happen.
If it's undeniable, it's undeniable. Mm-hmm. That's just where my head stays.
That. Yeah.
Solid advice, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I won't give too much advice because I don't know.
No one knows.
No one knows.
Yeah. That's the thing too. Like, you kind of see in the industry is even the professionals that you would think know everything.
Yeah.
They're just pushing and guessing, man.
Yeah.
You know? So it's 100% that, you know, it's being creative and thinking about what has worked, but mm-hmm. also thinking about just what's different.
Yeah.
Because the thing that you roll out this record with and the thing you roll out the next record with, if you did the exact same thing, it probably wouldn't work the same way.
For sure.
Know? So that's creative process, and every song, man, I mean, that's a different, you know, kind of child.
Yeah.
You know, it's a...
That is a fact.
Yeah. So anything else that you guys have coming down the line that you want to talk about?
Aside from the shows, we got a tour coming up with ZZ Ward.
Cool.
Yeah, in November. That'll be West Coast. And then we got David Shaw in February from the Revivalists. So I think that'll be really fun.
Super cool.
Just a lot of shows.
Good.
A lot of shows. Yep. Oh, yeah, Stagecoach.
Oh,
we're
doing
Stagecoach.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What day are you playing?
Sunday... Yes.
Is that the day I'm playing?
I don't know.
I hope so.
Me too.
I mean, we'll be there all weekend, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll hang.
I'm so stoked. Bro,
last time we played Stagecoach, I'm on stage doing my thing, you know, and I look down and Guy Fieri is in the pit, the photo pit, and with a big bottle of tequila. And I'm like, what? And he looks up at Luke. And we had Kojo on. We were doing a Brooks and Dunn tune or something. They were both singing. And he just handed this bottle of tequila up on stage, and everyone's just drinking it. Luke's going around pouring it in all of our mouths.
That's funny.
Unbelievable. We went to Flavortown.
Flavortown. Gotta love Flavortown.
Oh, that's wild. Yeah, I haven't been to Stagecoach, but I heard it's just chaos and so much fun.
Same. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Hell yeah. Well, thanks for coming over, man, and hanging with us.
Thanks for having me.
Shooting the shit. And
yeah.
Good to meet you.
Likewise.
Yeah, we appreciate it, man. As soon as I heard you singing live, I was like, we got to have this man on the pod. So
well, I'm glad.
We appreciate you doing
it. There'll be plenty more to see, too.
Yes, yeah. I can't wait. Yeah. Well, guys, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon, and we'll see you in the front row. And we'll see you, Stagecoach.
Yeah.
See you at Stagecoach.